Hello, and welcome to this half hour of Rallis Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallis, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school, or maybe you could come join us at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or maybe you could come join us on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our weekly Bible study. We appreciate the support that we've had so much, and we love our members here. I'll tell you this, I think if you were to come and visit, maybe you don't have a church home, you would find a very loving congregation, a very open and friendly congregation. And one thing that we teach and we believe here at Rallis is the fact that men and women have been put in different circumstances throughout their life that they might use those as a testimony to someone else. You see, I believe maybe you've been a cancer survivor. Maybe you've been through a terrible divorce. Maybe you've had a lot of tragedy in your life. Now, as a Christian, God has allowed you to go through those things, and He's pulled you through. He's shown you His mighty love. He's shown you His mighty works that you might be able not to only glorify God in your life, but in order to use those circumstances to be able to share with others about the goodness of God. You see, friend, God might have put that in your life so that you might be able to find somebody else that's just now beginning to walk through that dark valley that you've already come through, and you'll be there as a guide for them. You'll be there as the help for them. And I love the fact that God brings His people together, that they're there to support one another, they're there to encourage one another, and we're there to be a help to each other. We want to supply hope today. That's the greatest thing that God has given a Christian, is the fact that we can supply hope to a lost and dying world. And friend, I want you to know that here at Rallis, there are many people today that can tell you at one point in their life they were without any hope, but thanks be to God that He pulled them through. And we'd be there to help each other. I want to wish happy birthday, if I could, to several folks over the course of the next week here at Rallis. Stacy and Stephanie Isaacs, you'll know them maybe as Stacy Eisenberg and Stephanie Massey, but they're the Isaacs twins, are celebrating a birthday on Friday the 7th. And also, Brother A.J. Wilson, one of our deacons here, will also be celebrating a birthday with them on the same day. And so keep those folks in your prayers. You see them out somewhere, wish them a happy birthday. Also, Miss Emily Pointer. Miss Emily's one of the fine young girls here at Rallis Baptist Church, and she'll be celebrating her birthday on Saturday the 8th. And also Alessia Burnett will be celebrating a birthday on Monday the 10th. So keep all these people in your prayers and wish them a happy birthday when you see them out. I want to share with you, if I might, for a little while this morning, out of the book of Acts. Out of the book of Acts, and we're going to be looking in chapter 1. If you're where you're able, maybe you want to go with me in your Bible unto Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, and talk about a few simple truths. We might look at a couple other scriptures, but that's where we'll dig our plow in at this morning. And I think maybe it'd do us some good to understand and remember what it is the church is all here for, what the church is about today, what it is we need to understand about it. Now, you'll know the book of Acts simply breaks itself down. It actually breaks itself down, the whole Bible does, but the book of Acts is Jesus goes up, the Spirit comes down, and the saints go out. And I'll tell you, that's a great little outline for the book of Acts. Now, here's the simple New Testament truth about how the Christian church was born, okay? In Acts chapter 1, the risen Jesus has appeared to the disciples on and off for 40 days. 40 days now after the resurrection, the risen Jesus has appeared to these men. These are the same men who had failed miserably when the pressure came during His arrest, okay? Far more than just doubting Jesus, they turned tail and they fled. Peter was even worse than that. As we looked a little bit from Peter's story in this last Sunday, Peter, he verbally denied that he knew Jesus to the point of cursing. Yet Jesus was going to entrust these very men with the leadership of the newborn church of God, which is the body, which is His body. So the world, lying in spiritual darkness, desperately needs the gospel that has just been completed with the sacrificial death and powerful resurrection of Jesus Christ. The disciples are putting it all together in their minds. Why Jesus had to die. What it means for humanity. The great task that lies ahead. Listen. The Old Testament scriptures are beginning to come alive left and right for them. They go to the old familiar stories that they've read so often in their Old Testament, and suddenly there, standing in the midst of those scriptures, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the Bible begins to take a new understanding, or all their scriptures begin to take a new light, and they begin to understand that Jesus was there the whole time. The whole time He was standing there, and the Holy Spirit has opened their eyes to this. The glorified Christ, with fresh nail prints still in His hands, is tutoring them day after day, 40 days. Now you would think that as the ascension day draws closer and closer, Jesus would be saying, "Get ready, men. Get ready. We've got to prepare. We've got to get ready to launch a major campaign. Reserve the Jerusalem arena for a series of mass meetings. Start the advance publicity." Indeed, maybe you should divide up into teams and hit several cities of Israel at once for maximum effect. "The message of redemption through my death on the cross needs to go out far and wide immediately. See how much we've got in the treasury. We need to try to fundraise. We need to try to do a lot of these things that churches today are trying to do in order to raise funds." And you know what? In actuality, He tells them the opposite. Now let's look at our scripture, Acts 1, 4 through 9. "And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, He said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.' Now when He had spoken these things, while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight." Friends, listen to me. The world is dying. People are without the gospel. These men have the message of life. They have seen Jesus in the flesh and walked with Him for days on end, both before and after His death and resurrection. And yet, He tells them to wait. He tells them to be still. He tells them to stay right there. Why? Because one of the most important things that's ever happened to humanity, you listen to me, you can hang everything else on this very instant, on this very point. Christ knows the power and strongholds of the enemy. He knows what these men will soon face. He knows what you're facing. He knows that you've got enemies in your home. He knows that you've got enemies in your workplace. He knows you've got enemies inside your very mind today. And Christ is telling us not to get out here and launch a major campaign, not to get out here and to spend every dime we've got seeking help from outside sources. Christian, listen to me today. The very help that you need is living inside your heart. The world today understands that Christ knew much wisdom, that Christ knew much discernment, and Jesus had the boldness that he needed. And so He says, no. Even though you have the correct message, you will never, listen, even though you have the correct message, you will never accomplish the task I give you without the power of the Holy Spirit, which is greater than yourselves. It will be the Holy Spirit's supernatural ability working in you and through you. And Jesus said, don't go anywhere until you've received that power. And I think that's truly amazing. It is the opposite of what we hear in our day. You're going to hear things like, well, you just go get you a good theological education. You go off somewhere to seminary. You go out somewhere and buy you a lot of reference books, or you understand a lot of things about what's going on in the world today. And then you go out and preach the message you've learned in the classroom. But listen, we're finding in churches all across the country that preaching alone does not cause conversions. It does not result plural in baptisms and does not expand the kingdom of God. Most churches are making no dent in the masses of unbelievers all around them. Now, you can blame tough environments if you want to. New age thinking and immoral entertainment, all you want. But when has the environment not been difficult for the gospel? When has there not been tough environments? When has there not been new age thinking? When has there not been immoral entertainment? I'm telling you, friend, that today the same old sins that Paul dealt with in Antioch, that Moses found in the children of Israel, that Abram left his homeland for, those same old sins are still around today. They give them a new name. They clean them up a little bit, and they recycle them and recycle them and recycle them. It's always been tough to share the gospel. It's always been hard. It's always been a great task. Think of what the early church faced in Jerusalem and the pagan Roman Empire. Yet they received power from on high, and they did exploits for God instead of just talking to themselves. You know, that's where we're wasting a lot of momentum. The churches today, friends, we hold our meetings, we get our people together, we want to have a great brainstorming sessions, and we're trying to do it all under our own ability. Their preaching and witnessing had a dimension of supernatural ability that we are sadly lacking today. Now listen, a lot of people don't want to hear instruction. They don't want to hear the instruction that Christ gave right here. And that's simply a little four-letter word, W-A-I-T, wait. Wait. We're eager to get going, aren't we? We're busy people. We think if something's going to work, it's got to be incredibly hectic. It's got to be incredibly movement. It's got to be a lot of bang, and there's got to be a lot of pow, and it's got to have a lot of those things. But Christ is telling them, wait. Listen, we will accomplish far more if we spend time waiting for the power of the Spirit. The work of the church needs not just the correct message concerning Jesus, but also the power that Jesus promised His followers. The power that Jesus promised His followers. Notice that Jesus did not say to wait for any certain manifestation. Okay? That's where we've got to be very careful. He didn't say wait for any of the signs of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say wait for the flickering flames. He didn't say wait for the rushing wind. He didn't say wait for the speaking in tongues. He pointed them to their need of receiving spiritual power. The thrust in the New Testament was always toward the power itself rather than any particular manifestations that came alongside the power. We're not looking for the signs. We're looking for the root cause. We're not looking for all the branches that come off of it. We're looking for the root today. We're looking for something. Where was the beginning of all these things? All these things are not a power unto themselves. All these things, all these manifestations, all these results are caused by something else. We're looking for the very root cause of it. I want to know what caused men to be able to go out and to lay their lives down for the gospel. I want to know what caused these men to be able to give these great sermons in different tongues. I want to know what caused it. When we narrow it down, when we break it all down, and you tear away all the gift wrapping, you tear away all the things that men are trying to exploit today, you'll see the very root of it all, the very branch of it all. The place where all these things come from is the Holy Spirit of God. That's where all these things are made necessary from. It's through God working through the Holy Spirit in the hearts of men and women. That's the whole point. We must be endued with a power from on high. Let's take another look. What the New Testament believers wanted was to receive special ability from God. And any of these other things were unexpected side issues. The disciples didn't get it at first. You can tell by the prophecy question they asked. Verse 6. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Their curiosity sounds a lot like modern times, don't it? with all the books and conferences on the end times, but little attention given to a more pressing problem. Jesus flatly told them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by His own authority. He told them to get used to vagueness on those matters. Listen, friend, the church's great task is not to clarify what the mark of the beast is, or who the bearer of the north is, or whether the Jerusalem temple will ever be rebuilt. Instead, Jesus gave the disciples a divine promise that has never been retracted. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. In other words, the great commission of evangelism is the great work of the church, and it will be done only in the power of the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you, is your spiritual life floundering? Have you found maybe there's a loss of spiritualism in your life? That maybe you're attending church, maybe you're attending Sunday school, you're going through all the motions, dear friend, but when it comes down to those quiet times, when it's just you and the Lord alone, you realize there's something missing. You realize that there's a great void there. There's a darkness. There's a blank space where there ought to be something filled in. I want to remind you that when oftentimes we try to attempt to serve God under our own power, we fall utterly short. We begin to see that people experience burnout when they try to do it under their own strength. Listen to me, friend. I cannot do everything that I do under the power of my own strength. You cannot hope to accomplish all the tasks that have been set before you if you try to do them under your own strength. You can't do it. You need something greater. You need the Holy Spirit. And it'll only be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what follows after the ascension, as you know, is that the disciples returned to Jerusalem and began an extended prayer meeting. You know, that's something I know oftentimes, and probably every week, I invite you to come join us on Wednesday evenings for our weekly Bible study at 7 o'clock. But you know what? That really and truly is more than just a Bible study. That's a prayer meeting. I want to encourage you, if in your church, if you're not having a prayer meeting, if you're not having a time set aside just for prayer and seeking the face of God, that would be a terrific thing for you to start. I've got some men that meet with me early on Sunday mornings before Sunday school ever starts, and we get together there and we have prayer and we seek God's face. We ask that God might make Himself known more powerfully, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of the people that come here to worship. I want them to know that their people are praying today. I want people to understand that there are still men and women out there that seek God's face, that attempt to draw power from on high. Because today, friends, listen to me, you're not going to find it at Lifeway. You're not going to find it on the internet. You're not going to find it in the resources and the books that men come up with. You're only going to find hope. You're only going to find pleasure. You're only going to find fulfillment in the power of the Holy Spirit today. And today, too many friends, too many of us are worried about how it looks into the world. Too many friends today are worried about the perception that they're giving. Too many pastors today are afraid to stand up and say anything about the Holy Ghost. They're afraid it's going to be an embarrassment to them. They're afraid about how it's going to look to the congregation. Friend, I'm not worried about how it looks to the congregation. I'm worried about drawing upon that power of the old-time Holy Ghost. I want to know today that there's something that I can get a hold of. I want to know there's something today that you and I can experience far beyond just a 45-minute pep rally. That's not why we're coming together. We're not coming together just for to pat each other on the back and tell each other how good we are. No! We're here to confront sin. We're here to make ourselves better Christians. And first and foremost, in order to do that, we must allow God to purge our hearts. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to move in our very being. Oh, friend, listen to me today. That was the setting where the church was born. The church was born in a prayer meeting. In a prayer meeting, they patiently waited before God for the power to come upon them and lift them above themselves. Friend, Peter would no longer be Peter the failure. He would be Peter the mighty preacher. He would be transformed, not by learning something new from Scripture, but by deeply experiencing God's Spirit. It would not be mere emotionalism. It would not be fanaticism or psyching himself up to face the challenge ahead. It would be the reality of God supernaturally empowering His servant to accomplish His assigned task. And so I just want to leave you with this. I'll end now. But I want to ask you, is the reality of a supernatural God, is the reality of that empowering you in your day-to-day walk? Do you have a desire to draw closer to God? Do you have a desire to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ? I hope so. I want you to know that God has given you an entity. God has given you something that can draw you in. Jesus is not asking for you to clean yourself up. He's not asking for you to do better on your own. He's not asking for you to promise not to do anything again. He's not asking for you to say you're sorry and go about anything on your own. He's asking for your heart. He wants your heart. And when you give Him your life, when you give Him your will, when you give Him your being, all the other things will line up. All the other things will help empower you to accomplish your assigned task. Friend, will you pray with me? Will you pray with me today? Father God, we come asking only one thing, that You might fill us with Your Spirit. Oh, Father, as I go throughout my daily walk, I pray that You might fill me with Your Spirit, dear God. Lord, I know there are others that are desirous of that same effect on their lives. That, dear Father, we want to just be guided. We want to be moved by Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to understand more about You. We want to be able to have the Holy Spirit make our decisions and move us and help us to breathe and to understand and to interact with one another. And so, Father, I just pray for those that have a great desire to draw closer, that have a great desire to be even a better Christian than they are now. Lord, I pray that You'll help them to have the patience to wait upon the power of God. Thank You, dear Lord. We ask You these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. God bless you, friends, from Rallets Baptist Church.